Well, last Sunday we had the feast day of the Ascension of the Lord, and before our Lord ascended, he told the disciples to go back into Jerusalem and to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the apostles did. They went to the upper room in Jerusalem together with the Blessed Mother, and for 9 days they prayed that the gift of the Spirit would be given them. And that's what happened on the 10th day, which was Pentecost Sunday. The Jewish feast of Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, the day that was chosen by God. That's when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. And we call today really the baptism or the confirmation of the church. They say that the church was born on Calvary when our Lord's Sacred Heart was pierced and outflowed the blood and water. That was the birth of the church, but today is the baptism, the confirmation of the church, when the church received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And look at the transformation that took place in the lives of those apostles. Before Pentecost, they were just ordinary fishermen with many weaknesses and fumblings. And yet, after Pentecost, they were filled with courage and faith, even to die as martyrs for the Lord. During the agony in the garden, when our Lord was arrested, all the disciples ran away. And yet, after Pentecost, they were filled with the strength to even lay down their lives for Christ. St. Peter is a perfect example. The night before Christ died, somebody pointed out, "You are a follower of his." What did Peter say? He said, "I swear to you, I don't even know the man." 3 times he denied even knowing Christ. That's what his life was like without the power of the Holy Spirit. After Pentecost, he was the very first one to proclaim from the rooftops that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead. And after Peter gave his first sermon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people said, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent of your sins and be baptized." And that day, 3,000 members were added to the church. In sales, we would call that a very good first day, wouldn't we? 3,000. The church then grew from 12 to 3,000, and eventually a billion we have today. So the feast day of Pentecost is such an important feast day, and we too need an influx of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. Now, when we are confirmed, we receive the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was given to us initially in our baptism. And you might remember your confirmation. You might have been 13 years old, and at that time, the bishop confirmed you and said, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." Or perhaps more recently, you've been brought into the church and maybe just confirmed within the last year. At that point, you received the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, people might say, "Well, I didn't feel any different. When I was 13 years old, I got confirmed, but I don't feel any different." Well, that grace, that power is within you. It just has to be unlocked and unleashed. It's there in dormant, latent form. But if we pray, when we need those graces, they will be there. Remember the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom, understanding that help us to comprehend God and His revealed truth. Counsel, which is the ability for us to make right decisions and good judgment. And this gift is needed. For example, if people are in a process of maybe taking a new job, they're not sure, is this the job that God wants for me? They should pray to the Holy Spirit for that gift of good counsel or good judgment. If you're dating somebody, you're not sure, is this the person that God wants me to marry? Pray to the Holy Spirit for enlightenment. Lord, reveal to me, is this the person that you want me to help get to heaven and help me get to heaven? Then the gift of knowledge is given to us in confirmation. The gift of fortitude. Fortitude is courage. Now, we need this especially in our society. You might be at work and the person next to you has a very foul mouth and they use God's name in vain during the day. What do you do about it? If we're hesitant, if we're timid, we might say, oh, I really don't want to say anything, you know. But if we pray to the Holy Spirit, we'll have the courage and the fortitude to lovingly, gently say, you know, please, maybe we should try to make a better effort to respect God's holy name and to be able to speak up during those times. It takes courage, but that's where the grace of the Holy Spirit comes into play. You might be at work and a discussion comes up at the lunch table about, let's say, the issue of pro-life. And you might be the only one that might be pro-life. And yet, with the courage of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to teach God's teaching on that very important teaching. That and family values and the sanctity of marriage. These issues will come up, and you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us will need the fortitude of the Holy Spirit. Also, then there's piety and fear of the Lord. Piety and fear of the Lord really mean reverence and respect, not only for God's name, but for God himself and for sacred and holy things. Fear of the Lord is not wanting to offend our loving God, not wanting to offend a God who loves us so much. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, in our society, there's really two kinds of people, those that are living in the flesh and those that are living in the Spirit. And St. Paul, in the second reading of Galatians, describes the characteristics of those that are steeped in the flesh or those that are living in the Spirit. And very, very important reading from Paul to the Galatians. He says, the works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality. And again, you'll see these things in our society, so prevalent in our society today. Immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfishness, dissension, factions, envy, drinking, carousing, and the like. But then he says, we have become one with Christ. We are followers of Christ now. And he said that if we're living in the Spirit, we will produce the fruits of the Spirit. And these, of course, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, modesty, and self-control. Those are the works of the Spirit. Now, we get the word, the spiritual life, from the Holy Spirit. So if we have a spiritual life, we will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will bear these fruits within our lives. So this is the challenge that we have today, not to live in the flesh, but to be living according to the Spirit. Now, we especially need, in my opinion, the Holy Spirit to teach us how to love, to teach us how to love God, the Father, and the Lord with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, but also to love our neighbor. Remember, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of love. It's a love between the Father and the Son. So if we want to really learn how to pray, learn how to love God, we need the Holy Spirit in our life to do that, and especially to love our neighbor, to love your spouse, to love your children the way God wants you to love them. One of the things I think we all struggle with is impatience, right? If I said, raise your hand if you wish you had more patience, how many would raise their hand? If you didn't, you're not being honest, right? Because everybody needs patience. Now, patience is a form of love. Love for another person. Love for your children, your spouse. What I would recommend, if you're ever tempted to be impatient, just say three words. Come, Holy Spirit. In fact, I noticed that the banner in front of the pulpit says that. Come, Holy Spirit. I know one speaker, before he travels throughout the country, he writes on his palm of his hand, CHS, come Holy Spirit. And before he gives the talks on family values and the sanctity of marriage, he always prays, come Holy Spirit. Try this in your family. when your brother or sister is getting on your nerves and you're going to argue with them or fight with them, instead of fighting, say, "Come, Holy Spirit." And then try to be a peacemaker in the home. The same thing, husbands and wives. See, if the kids get along better, then the parents won't have to get on your case, right? Think of how much a harmony would be in our families if we were all really living in the Spirit and not giving in to what Paul calls the works of the flesh. Now, one story that's the true story, and I'll tell you exactly how it happened. About 10 years ago, this happened to me, and I bring this up because I think in our Northern Virginia area, it's very hard to be loving and patient, especially on the Beltway and 66, isn't it? Well, this story occurred in my life, and I share it because I think it's an example of what happens without the Holy Spirit and what happens with the Holy Spirit. I was heading south on Route 28, coming down from Dulles Airport, and you know where 66 is, and you pass like Braddock Road, then 66. And as I pulled onto 28 South, I accidentally cut off a red pickup truck. Okay, so I pull in front of this guy. I hear the horn. And this guy really lays on his horn. I didn't hit him or anything. I didn't even see him. I'm lucky I didn't hit him, but obviously it was not intentional. And so we're driving down Route 28, and don't you hate when it happens when the light turns red? Okay. So I'm in the left lane, he's in the right lane, he rolls down his window. You got to hate that as well. And I think I was about to, apologize or whatever, and all of a sudden he begins to really yell and scream and really out of control. He shakes his fist and he's really just lost it. And of course, being the loving, kind, gentle person that I am, I begin yelling right back at him, okay? I begin yelling right back, and we're yelling back and forth. The light turns green, and so he peels out, and I head out as well. And I'm thinking to myself, I handled that so bad. I handled that so poorly. I'm supposed to be a good example, etc. Here on the back of my car, I have John chapter 6. My license plate has a Bible quote. I have a pro-life bumper sticker in the back of my car. I'm thinking, oh, I just set a bad example as a Christian. I can't believe it. And I prayed to the Holy Spirit. I said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And I entrusted that situation to the Holy Spirit. And I said, perhaps something, I would love to be able to apologize to the guy and try to make up for it. But you know how sometimes it happens where people go their different ways and you never see the person again. All you can do is obviously pray for them. But I prayed to the Holy Spirit, calmed down. And then, believe it or not, at the very next light, it turned red. So now I pull up next to him. I'm on the left side, he's on the right side, and I buzz down the passenger window, and he looked over, he saw me, I wanted to get his attention. He put down his window. Before he could say anything, I said, "Hey, buddy, I am really sorry. Sorry for cutting you off. I didn't mean to do it. I just didn't see you. I'm really sorry about that." Immediately, he changed. His anger left him, and he said, "Hey, that's okay. People have just been cutting me off all day." And I said to him, "Hey, sorry about that." And I gave him a thumbs up, and he gave me a thumbs up, which, of course, is the only gesture we should ever use when we're driving. And so he left, and I left. And that was a really neat experience for me because I saw what happens in our life if we don't use the Holy Spirit. If we just rely upon ourselves, we're going to make a mess of things. But if we invoke the Holy Spirit, it can really help us, and it can change people's hearts. It can change our own hearts primarily, and it can make things so much better.